Okay. So take your Bibles this morning, please, and open up to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to be, we concluded our message last week, our series, What is the Church? I think I still saw it up there, but it's gone now. But we've concluded that. And today I'm going to do a message entitled Three Crosses. And then starting next week, we're looking forward. Pastor Andrew is going to bring a series of messages during the morning service from the book of 1 John. So might be good to read that this week and to prepare your hearts for that. And looking forward to that. Then after that, believe it or not, holiday season will be upon us. And we'll be preaching some Thanksgiving and Christmas messages. And then starting in the new year, I will begin a series in the new year on Sunday morning from the book of Romans. So be praying for that also. And but we're excited about today as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. So if you will, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." What do you think of, friends, when you see a cross, or you hear the word cross? What does the cross mean to you? What does the Bible say about the cross? What is, if you will, what is the theology of the cross? The theology of the cross is not a wooden artifact. It's not what sets atop of a church steeple. It's not what sits on an altar or on a pulpit. It's not even a piece of jewelry. But it is all that was involved at the crucifixion of Christ. And think about the things that took place there at the crucifixion. Think about the peace that was made at the cross. Think about the pardon. Think about the righteousness that is now available to us because of the cross. Think about salvation that is offered so full and free. Think about eternal life. Think about the wisdom of the cross. Think about sanctification. Think about redemption, reconciliation, and on we could go. But before I go any further, Ryan, could you close that shade because the sun is shining off of someone's windshield right into my eyeballs. Good job. Thank you. It's probably shining off my bald head too. So, the cross, friends, is the full measure of man's hatred of God. Keep a finger here in Galatians. Turn back with me to Luke 23. The cross of Christ is the full measure of man's hatred to God. Luke 23, verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Think about that. You know, we see some of this going on in our country today when we see some of the protests and sometimes people coming in and in a restaurant and somebody trying to quietly have a meal and these people break in. But imagine this scene, even 100 times worse than that, where all these people gathered and their hatred for God being spewed out in the words, "Crucify him." So the cross of Christ is the full measure of man's hatred to God, but it is also the full measure of God's love to man. What opposites collide at the cross? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." The love of God displayed at the cross for the people shouting even, "Crucify him." For the people who nailed our Savior to the cross, the love of God is displayed there. The cross is where man did his worst and God did his best. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. Long introduction today. Lots of runway before we take off. 1 Corinthians 1:18. When we think of the cross, what is the cross? 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." So the cross is where man's hatred and God's love collide. The cross, then the preaching of the cross, is to those who don't know God, foolishness. But to us, it's what? The power of God. Such contrasts. To the unsaved, the cross is foolishness. To the legalist, the cross is offensive or even a shame. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Christ is who makes the cross glorious to us. We don't worship the cross, but we worship the one who gave his life on the cross. Christ is who makes the cross glorious to us. The cross for the Christian should signify a most glorious truth, and that is the atonement of the sins of the world, where you and I can be brought at one again with God. So let's examine our text. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So I want to look at this verse and note in this verse that there are three crosses mentioned. Three crosses mentioned. And notice this first cross, the cross of Christ. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." The cross of Christ. And on this cross hangs one who saves. The cross of Christ. Paul said, "I'm not going to glory." And the word here, glory, means to boast or to praise. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory." I want to boast a little bit. I want to praise God a little bit. But God forbid that I should boast or glory in anything save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word save there means accept. So he says, the only thing that I want to glory in is the cross of Christ and what happened there. I glory, Paul is saying here, I glory in siding with the man whom the world rejected and glorified. Rejected and crucified, not glorified. He rejected, the world rejected and crucified the Lord. And Paul is saying, I glory in that man. I side with that man. And friends, this is in opposition to all human effort. Paul, and even us, we have nothing to boast about. Nothing. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to being able to be reconciled, when it comes to anything that has to do with our salvation, you and I have absolutely, positively nothing to boast about. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And it is wrong for us to think when God saves us, Lord, you made a good choice. Now, let's see what will happen. Because I'm on the team. We have nothing to boast about. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Nil. Whatever you want to use for that word. Paul. The great apostle Paul had nothing to boast about. Nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. And we notice the person of the cross. The person of the cross is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, the Messiah, the sent one, the one who came for the very reason of giving his life on the cross. He is the person of the cross. And then there's the power of the cross. Friends, you and I have been set at liberty. The cross for us, the power of the cross represents liberty. Liberty from sin. You and I have been set free from sin. Sin bound us. Sin chained us. Sin captivated us, but we've been set at liberty. The power of the cross. We have been set free now from the liberty of self, from the liberty, if you will, of the flesh. And the flesh no longer has dominion over us. We've been set at liberty from the world. The world that is so against God. The power of the cross. Friends, we think of the power of the cross, and we don't have time to develop all of the book of Galatians, but one of the problems that Paul was dealing with in the book of Galatians was the law, and people wanting to go back to the law. People wanting to add the law to salvation. And Christ died so that we wouldn't have to keep the law. And yet there are people today, even in Christian circles, who feel you need to keep the law also. Friends, the law appeals to our human ego. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, we all feel that I can do something to please God. What can we do to please God? Nothing. The only thing that pleases God is our faith and our faith in Christ. If you ask most people, you knock on their door, hey, if you were to die tonight, would you be guaranteed a place in heaven? Most people will say, sure. Okay, why? Because I'm good. Because my good outweighs my bad. Because I keep the Ten Commandments. Oh. But you see, the law appeals to our ego. Because man feels they have to do something. Friends, we can do nothing to please God. And let me tell you this. It's already been done. Jesus died on the cross. The power of the cross. The law encourages the flesh to work. The law doesn't care if you're religious. Just don't bring the cross into the conversation. Do, do, do. Friends, it's already been done. The power of the cross. And what is the purpose of the cross? Of Christ. The purpose of the cross of Christ is to bring from the world a new people of God. Look at verses 15 and 16 of Galatians 6. Our text, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So what he's saying, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Gentile. Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean a thing. You know what means everything? That you're a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, this standard, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So what we see, the purpose of the cross is to bring from the world a new people of God, a new creation and a new nation. And this is all done through the atonement, through the substitution, through the propitiation, through the sanctification, and through our identification with Christ by faith. So we see the first cross, the first of the cross of Christ, the cross that saves. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the second cross. The cross of the world, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And friend, on this cross, one dies. The world, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The word here for world is the Greek word cosmos, and it talks about worldliness. It talks about the system that is against God, that is led by Satan. It is talking about the world that we see on our computer or TV screens at night. Look at Ephesians 2:2. It's probably on the next page. Galatians 6 after Galatians is Ephesians. 2:2, maybe you have to turn a page. But notice it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That word worketh there in the Greek has the idea of energize. Satan is energizing the children of disobedience in this world, in this system, this world system that is against God. And that is the kingdom that you and I belong to before we were saved. That is the kingdom that, friends, if you're here today without Christ, that is the kingdom that you are a part of. And Paul is saying that the cross also crucified the world to me. I'm no longer part of that kingdom. The world is dead to us as we to the world. We should be dead as believers. We should be dead to all worldly pursuits, cares, desires, and enjoyments. Now again, the world system that is against God, we're not talking about the created world, which is a picture of God's creation. We're not talking about the beautiful mountains, but we're talking about the world system that is anti-God, which 99.9% of everything on our television screens is about. Anti-God. Anti-Christian. So we should be dead to those worldly pursuits, worldly cares, worldly desires, worldly enjoyments. The world had no affection for Paul, and he had none for the world. Friends, as children of God, you and I need to live separated, holy lives. Separated from the world unto God. Holy, which means set apart for God. It doesn't mean we walk around with a halo over our head. It doesn't mean that we're holier than thou. That's a sign of pride. But it means that God, when God saved me, and I came to His cross, the world was crucified unto me, I'm now part of God's family, I am set apart for Him. Are you? Paul looked at the world as if it were on the cross. Do you? Do we? Do I? Have you taken this stand? Have you taken this stand, friends? Do you realize that Christ's cross means absolute separation from the world that rejected Him? What were the people hollering to Pilate? Crucify Him! Crucify Him. That is the world. Is that the crowd you want to be with? Crucify Him. If you identify with Christ, that means there's absolute separation from the world that rejected Him. And the third cross, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Notice the last phrase. And I unto the world. The cross of self. One lives. The cross of Christ. One saves. The cross of the world. One dies. The cross of self, one lives. I accept the cross of Christ as my cross. I accept His death as my death. I take my place with Him as one who died to the world, to sin, to self. I am no longer under law, but under grace. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you're here today and you feel you need to also keep the law, you're actually saying by your life and your actions, God died for no reason, because I can keep the law. No. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because righteousness does not come by the law, but righteousness comes by faith in Christ. And faith in Christ alone. Turn with me to Luke 23. And we have such a vivid picture of this in Luke 23. Verse 32. Jesus is being led away. Jesus is being crucified. And it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. So the scene that day, when Jesus was crucified, Christ's cross was in the center, and on his right and left were two thieves, two malefactors. And turn now with me to verse 39 of the same chapter. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So he mocked him. He scorned him. And he didn't believe he was the Christ. And he was saying, friends, if he said, if you're Christ, save yourself and save us. Thank the Lord, Christ didn't save himself. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Boy, this thief was a little bit different. He realized that he deserved to be on the cross. But he noticed something about Jesus. Could he have heard him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Could he heard him say to John and to his mother, John, please, I'm ad-libbing here, but take care of my mother. Mom, John's going to take care of you now. Could he have heard Jesus say, God, why have you forsaken me? And he says, verse 42, Lord, remember me. Isn't that great? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Isn't that amazing? While Jesus is dying on the cross, the world is spewing their hatred at him. Even one of the people being crucified with him is spewing his hatred at the Lord. And one humbly asks the Lord to save him. And he does. Someday you and I will also meet this thief on the cross. So when we think of these three crosses, the cross of Christ, the cross of the world, the cross of self, have you died to the world? Have you accepted Christ's sacrifice of himself for you? Have you identified with Christ and, yes, died on that cross, but live today with Christ just as he lives? Because, friends, the cross that we commemorate is an empty cross. No one is hanging on that cross. The tomb that we visit is empty, for Jesus has conquered death and sin. He's ascended into heaven. And today, Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God, the place of honor, the place of strength, the place of power. And he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. So today, when we come to the table in a few moments, and we remember the cross, do you remember a time when you knelt before that cross and you said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Now you may not spew your hatred in words to God like, if you're the Christ, save yourself. But friends, if you haven't come to that old rugged cross, you're on the side of the world that's saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Away with him. Release Barabbas. Give us the criminal. We don't want you. Where are you? Friend of God or friend of the world? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And Father, we can't help but glory in the cross. Glory in the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't help but think of all and praise you for all that was accomplished that day there on that hill. And Lord, we can't help but praise you for our own salvation. For Lord, when we did our worst to you, you did your best to us. I pray, Father, that everyone here has come to the cross recognizing their sin, recognizing their deserving eternal punishment, recognizing the fact that, Lord, you in your righteousness and in your justice rightly condemn us. But Lord, remember us. Have mercy on us. We call upon you, Lord, to save us. So I pray that everyone here knows that truth. Friends, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have come to his cross, and you have said, Lord, remember me. And you're saved today. If you're